would go to Luba. I have many reviews that I have done that have gone to Luba as well. We haven't had any of them overturned, though. However, this group also needs to consider the land use planning, which is goal number two. And it goes on to ensure an adequate factual base for decisions and actions. And we're talking about time and money here. And so time is going to be longer. Money is something that can be reduced just by a simple statement that it's no longer going to be required for affordable housing. And then also within the history element, the recreation needs of goal number eight would have to be ignored. And Commissioner Fritz with the Parks and Recreation Interest would like to inform you of the recreation areas. It says to provide for human development and enrichment and include but not be limited to open space, scenic landscapes, recreational lands, history, archaeology, and natural science resources.
Just to clarify, we're not proposing to change the approval criteria, and there is public input in a Type 2 procedure in the City of Portland, and it's appealed to the Design Commission, so there's multiple opportunities for citizens to have input.
Thank you. John, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm John Zarnicki. I'm an architect and principal at New Traditional Architecture. During that time, if I may, I have always also been architectural consultant to Oregon Housing and Community Services, specializing in affordable housing throughout the state. In addition, I've been, and that was over a course of 10 years. In addition, I've also been architectural consultant to the states for the Oregon Main Street program. That includes Main Street development in relationship to livability overall. The reason I'm here is really quite simple. We're in the danger of downgrading the quality of the our neighborhoods. It's not a matter truly of the fees being too high or the time being too long. What we're really doing is we're backing off of the standards that we have established. Now, the importance of public input, although Commissioner Fritz obviously is correct in terms of the opportunity for public input in the Type 2X process is much, much, much less than the opportunity is in the Type 3. The relative costs, in addition to the time of the design review, are minuscule. If affordable housing units cost about $500,000 a piece or $300,000 a piece, then that's what they were when I was working at the state commissioner. Let's say 230. Okay, let's say 235.
If those numbers get thrown around, sir, they're substantially less, but we can argue that.
Well, maybe it still comes down to, you know, an additional $10,000 in the review process or $20,000 in the review process, which is less than 1% of the total project costs. And in relationship to the time that's taken, it's really minimal. So I guess there are two things that come to mind. One is that since the cost of review is not in addition to the cost of development, it's integral with development, I think it's important to think about this as just being a part of the budget as opposed to an addition. It's a philosophical conceptual understanding. So we're removing the standards. And the way to do this is just to take the funds that would otherwise be used to supplement the affordable housing, and make sure that part of those funds are used to cover the development costs, which include review. Let's see.
Just sum up, John, because you've.
Yes, thank you. Given that that design review requires. Let's see. Just give me a moment here. Thank you. We've been talking about sustainable neighborhoods for the last couple of years now, if not longer. The notion of maintaining the quality of housing, whether it be affordable housing or whether it be market rate, and really the difference is with methods of funding. Whether we're talking about either of those, then we're really talking about the notion of the all-important notion of NIMBYism, not in my backyard, the reluctance of citizens to have substandard housing in their neighborhood, and the clarity with which folks who live in substandard housing, by substandard, I mean very clearly not designed as well or not designed as compatibly with the neighborhood to increase and maintain livability. It will be so obvious to everyone that the residents, they have not the means to live someplace better. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Okay, next.
The last two I show from both lists were Wendy Rahm and Paul Grove.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm Wendy Rahm, and I'm a member of the American Institute of Architects Historic Resource Committee and on the board of the Bosco Milligan Foundation. But my comments here are my own. This process has been speeded up. I'm a very strong advocate of both the retention and creation of affordable housing. I'm a West End resident and am doing what I can to preserve the exceptionally dense number of affordable housing buildings in that neighborhood against potential demolition threats posed by the excessive height allowances proposed by the Central City 2035 plan. I'm advocating for no net loss there. Regarding the proposed change to the code, I oppose the shift from Type 3 to a Type 2, especially in historic districts. By saying that, I am not implying that our city staff are not well-intentioned and very, very capable. They are. But this proposal to change from Type 3 to Type 2 essentially omits the public process. Yes, appeals are possible. But the public process is a foundation of good government, and the effective loss of this part of the process creates a reduction in transparency and a danger of decisions done in the proverbial smoke-filled back rooms. With this change will also be the loss of an opportunity to publicly tell the stories attached to these buildings as they are readapted for an admittedly terribly important use as affordable housing. We are a forgetful species and need reminding. How else but through the public process do we learn about the nearly lost story of the first maternal hospital in Portland? Who knew? Why are we targeting historic buildings once again? They deserve an open public review process at the Historic Landmarks Commission provided by the Type 3 process. For these reasons, I support the reduction in fees, a reduction of the public notice time by 10 days, but a retention of the Type 3 process. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. Paul Grove with the Portland Home Builders Association speaking on behalf of the Home Builders Foundation. For the record, and I wanted to get this out there initially, I wanted to thank council staff, bureau staff, for the responsiveness to a project in North Portland and folks' attention to that issue, and it's much appreciated by our executive director and others. Specifically today, talking in support of Resolution 227, it's something that the work of the foundation and that they do, particularly around transitional shelters, very much supportive of the proposal and the leadership on this front, and want to be a partner in that moving forward. Certainly think it's impactful, in particular for a lot of our partners, nonprofit partners, that are resource or capacity constrained. And so as we move forward, we'd like to offer two additional suggestions, for council and the work that's going to transpire. The first would be, and this is not news to folks, a potential waiver of fees or associated costs, especially for those that are, again, resource or capacity constrained. This impacts their business model. The funding becomes tenuous. There are a lot of different moving pieces, and these costs, while they might not appear to be much to some, are very impactful to the viability of a project. And the second item we would offer up for consideration is really around the notion of a one-stop shop, if you will, a concierge service for these folks that might not, again, have the staff capacity or resources that are familiar with the bureaus, with the staff, with the processes engaged in undertaking an endeavor of this type. There's been a lot of talk about inter-bureau coordination and different things. And if it's a point person either within the bureaus or a point person that can run lead on these types of things, we think it would be much more beneficial to help these folks getting their projects through the door and helping the folks that need it the most. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
So
okay, thank
I
you
would both. Like to...
Want to ask staff to come back and propose your amendment? But yeah, go ahead, please.
I have a couple of questions before you do your amendment.
Okay. Before? Okay.
If you wouldn't mind.
Please.
Okay.
So first for housing, what's the standard for getting a city subsidy? How much of a project has to be, or how many units have to be included?
Well, we have a variety of programs, and we do subsidize single-family homes with STC waivers, which would be an indirect subsidy, as well as property tax exemptions. So this ordinance was crafted, and I actually kept all my previous drafts. The five-unit threshold was selected because it was the cutoff between a single family and a multifamily. We have 19 projects in our current pipeline and about another 12 coming through the fall NOFA process. And frankly, all of our projects exceed 40 units in size. We're not really funding projects of a small scale. Miracles on Central is under construction. It's right on that edge. It's, of course, it's a four-story building in the convention center urban renewal area right near the Rose Garden. But most of our projects are around 100 units in size.
And so Commissioner Saltzman's percentage wouldn't or
actually, I like that idea because looking forward, if this policy is then applied in the future as we go through the process with planning and sustainability, because the 20-unit threshold is the same threshold that's used in the newly authorized state inclusionary housing bill. So we can provide both direct and indirect assistance to affordable housing developers, principally private developers, and this could receive favorable design treatment in the future if they had at least 20 units within them. So that applies.
Thank you. Then I just have two technical questions for BDS and we're ready to go. In quickly looking on my smartphone, it looks like we currently have design review in a type 2 in Hollywood, Interstate, St. John's, Albina, Outer Southeast, except for Gateway, and in the Central City and Gateway for projects under $2.1 million. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we're already doing, in most of the city, we're already doing type 2s.
Yes.
What's the difference between type 2 and type 2X?
Type 2 is even faster, and given the complexity and the size of the projects we're expecting in the Central City and Gateway, the type 2X gives the reviewer and the public additional time to comment and work out issues.
Thank you.
I think... I just want to raise, the larger question we want to see design review in more places. We want to see a more rigorous approach to historic preservation, and we want projects to get through the process quickly. Mm-hmm. I suspect it's not going to be possible to achieve all three of those goals for every project.
Difficult, but
you are in effect. Giving a special treatment to these projects. I mean, you've got to be explicit about that. But short of some miraculous process change that results in higher quality design review faster with the same staff in a city where we're going to have a huge pace of development for as far as my eye can see, this seems to me the right approach. I particularly appreciate your commitments to making sure that the standards are still followed, which obviously they are. one thing that was raised in passing, I guess it ought to just be touched on, Commissioner Fish raised it, and that is any thoughts about quality control in the enforcement process where a design is approved and where we don't necessarily get what the commission or the staff thought we were going to get, or a change is made by the applicant in the construction process. Some thoughts about how we deal with that issue. I think, again, regardless of what the rules and procedures are, if the what's coming out the pipeline at the other end turns out to be subpar versus what people thought they were approving, then our process isn't working then either. So
we had an error on the staff part, we are working with the applicant on that to retroactively go in and make that project, if I know which project you're talking about, match what was approved through the design review. And they've been dragged through the mud publicly and are willing to work with us on getting that project back to what was expected and approved through the Design Commission approval.
Okay. So in general,
I think what left unsaid is we do have a chain of quality control to make sure that what gets approved by design actually gets constructed. It didn't happen in this situation, but
we have enormous.
We do have that closed circle loop.
Right.
Yes, we have enormous volume of work coming through and complexity, and we are short-staffed, but we are hiring and filling positions, and mistakes will be made, but we're working our best to correct those after the fact when they are made.
Can I just make a comment? You said drag through the mud. I have a slightly different view, having watched the debate unfold, which is I think it reinforces the sense that we all have that Portland really cares about the look and feel of their city. And when they make a decision about a building that's on the edge, close to the water, that's blocking views, and it's an iconic site, and the developer says, I'm going to build it to a specification that you can be proud of, Portland expects us to, you know, enforce that bargain. And whatever disappointment I have about that process is not directed to staff. We all make mistakes. Things happen. But it's. I think there is a positive thing that comes out of this, that people really do care about how buildings in key locations look. And I had two questions, though, because we had testimony about alternate approaches. I just thought I'd ask Paul. One was a waiver of fees, and one was concierge service. In addition to what Commissioner Saltzman's proposing, and I'm going to support his proposal, we do have concierge service for the film industry through PDC. Should we at some point be thinking about funding a concierge service through BDS?
We currently have a concierge service for large projects, such as projects in South Waterfront. It's a, you know, I can't remember the sort of dollar trigger.
No, I meant for these kinds of projects.
But for these types of projects?
More concerned about
right.
Time.
We have something that we've put in place currently, which is similar to concierge. So we've identified a single point of contact who will assist in the respective codes, whether it's the land use code or the building codes, and partnering with the design team and staff at Portland Housing Bureau. So we have something in works. It's not formalized like a concierge service is in the process manager, per se, but it's mimicking that process, that approach.
Well, I applaud that, because one of the things that this council worked on a few years ago was co-location. And
yes.
That whole idea was to, through simplifying the points of contact, making the process work better. So mm-hmm. Good job.
And I do want to connect with Commissioner Novick. That's part of what he was asking. Is you have these concerns. You have staff that are requested and asked to focus on these priorities, but then there's other jobs. And so how we sort of resolve all of it is certainly an ongoing conversation, but we are all committed. It's just a matter of capacity and how do you spend your time and where and how.
Okay, so I wanted to move an amendment to change the requirement for eligibility for the Type 2X from a minimum threshold of 5 units, affordable units, to a minimum of 20% affordable units.
Second.
Okay.
And then I also wanted to just get on the record that we will have a report back to council in October or in the end of October about how this experiment went. And we will also, the Housing Bureau will require that all applicants who wish to participate in this Type 2X process have a signed agreement with the Housing Bureau that outlines their responsibilities under the regulatory agreements to provide actual affordable housing. So those things, just want to get on the record. I think those were
second,
points.
Second. Okay. Can I offer a friendly amendment that I've reviewed with your eminent chief of staff? On the draft in front of you in the ordinance, Dan, on page 3, we've had some concern about this automatically rolling over. And it seems to me that because the council has to act in any event to extend the emergency if it chooses to, my friendly amendment would be to delete the last sentence of Section 3.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So just delete that if they extend, the council will. I mean,
okay.
If the council chooses to extend, we're likely going to take up that. But for those concerned about automatic rollover, it seems to me we could just delete that without doing any violence to the ordinance.
Okay. I'll accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. So,
friendly amendment accepted. I'm looking for where the 5-unit to 20% provision would fit in the ordinance. I think I've missed
the bottom of page 2.
There it is, 5 or more units. So it means a privately owned property in which 20% or more of the units receive a city subsidy, right? Okay. That's
correct.
Where that verbiage would change.
Could we actually, because this is going to be a standard that BDS is going to have to apply, I'd like to make sure we actually wordsmith this now before you adopt it. So if you want to, will it read... the term city subsidy project means a privately owned property with 20% or more units receiving a city subsidy after the effective date? Is that what we want it to read?
Yeah, sounds fine. So those are the words that put Commissioner Salzman's amendment into the text. Okay, further discussion of the amendments, including the friendly amendment deleting the last sentence. Roll call vote, please, on the amendments.
Ritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Stoltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And then on the emergency ordinance as amended.
Ritz.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Stoltzman and Mayor Hales, for bringing this forward. Thank you to staff in both bureaus for your, as always, excellent work. It's, as this former community land use chair at a neighborhood association, it was always kind of a toss-up to me whether I preferred the 2X or the Type 2 process or the Type 3. Type 2 allows citizen input into staff decision with an appeal to a not council body. Type 3 allows citizen input to the staff report, which then goes to a citizen body, which then gets appealed to council. And depending on the topic and the membership of the council, sometimes I preferred one rather than the other. So the fact that the code already says that design review is always type 2 in all of the areas except for Central City and Gateway, inexpensive project, tells me that the type 2 process is a good one, and if it's good enough for Albina and outer southeast, it should be good enough in Central City as well, especially on these particular projects. And so I don't see it as a diminishment of community oversight. In fact, it makes the design review commission the final decision maker, and that gives them more power rather than less. So I believe that this is a good strategy, especially since it's a pilot project. So thank you all for your work. Aye.
Fish?
Thank you, Dan, for bringing this forward, and thank you for your tenacity. I think the director mentioned in passing that there's something like 31 projects in the pipeline or soon to be in the pipeline. So that's an extraordinary boost of production at a time we desperately need new units, and we're facing a shortage of units. We have a supply problem. And I think this is an innovative idea that Commissioner Salzman wants us to test over a limited period of time. And if it turns out to be a good idea, we can extend it or modify it. If it turns out to have unanticipated problems, we can limit it or end it. But I appreciate that you're pitching a good idea. And I also appreciate the work of these three people that have testified before us, these professionals. They do a great job under very difficult circumstances. And I also appreciate that in the conversation we had today, you affirmed the commitment to the kinds of design standards that we all care about. And I just want to reiterate, a well-designed, functional building is not only something that any of us would want to live in, and therefore is affirming of the human spirit, it is also a building that tends to last longer, which makes it a good investment of taxpayer dollars. And more often than not, it builds community support for what we're doing. And I've never understood why we didn't make the same kind of investment in our public habitation structures that we do in all other public structures that we're proud of. So I appreciate the effort you're trying to do to stretch the dollar and to cut red tape. And thank you, Dan, for your leadership on this. Aye.
Councilman?
Well, I want to thank our Housing Bureau Director and our Development Services Director and our BDS Chief Planning Director.
Close enough.
For all their hard work on these ideas. And I want to also thank the Design Commissioners and the Landmarks Commissioners for all the hard work they do on behalf of our city and ensuring that we do have quality design and great living spaces. And I think what we're trying to do here is simply, you know, undertake a pilot project to see if we can move things a little more quickly, a little less expensively, but still we're not relaxing one design standard whatsoever. So we got to try some things different under a housing emergency. This is one of those tries. Let's give it a shot. Aye.
No, Vic.
I really appreciate Commissioner Saltzman's efforts to address the housing emergency, and this is a great step. I just want to reiterate my concern that we treat our permitting staff and all the bureaus nicely, and don't make it clear to them that they can't magically generate more time, and make it clear to them that if we're prioritizing X, then we realize you're going to have less time for Y, and that we send that same message to the development community. So I appreciate everybody's remarks on those scores. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I want to thank you, Dan, for bringing this forward and crafting it well. I also want to thank our city budget office because they've been going through this new tool that they've developed called GATOR, which stands for Government Accountability, Transparency, and Results, where they look at a city system or process and reconsider and re-engineer with the engagement of commissioners in charge and bureau directors and others that have skin in that game. And it's a good tool, and it was one of the things that led to this recommendation. So I want to thank Andrew Scott and his team for making that tool work for us as managers of the enterprise. I also want to echo the point here about experimentation. I mean, one thing that government doesn't do very often is pilot projects or experiment. We tend to take a long time in developing new policy and then, you know, put it into place rather than say, we're going to try this for a while. And that's essentially what we're doing here. We've got another 6 months of this declared emergency. We'll see whether it makes sense to extend it at that point or not. It will be a public discussion and a legislative action by the council to do that if we do that. And then projects or policies that we've been trying out during that time can be reviewed as well. And we just need to keep trying things because we are in a crisis. And whether it's the housing delivery system or our shelter system or even camping, you know, we have to think anew and try things and then see what works and doesn't and be willing to admit what hasn't worked and move on. So I think that spirit is very consistent with that spirit. And again, I really appreciate Tad, you and the other volunteers who put a huge amount of time into trying to maintain the quality of design in this city. It's a huge task that we give you as volunteers, and hopefully that we will not wear you out, but we will also ensure that both the historic resources of this city and the quality of new construction are held to the highest possible standard, and I appreciate, Rebecca, your commitment to that and your colleagues as well. Let's give it a try. Aye. Thank you very much. Let's move on to the second of the two ordinances, which is 227. Ready to vote on that? Okay. Let's take a vote on that, please.
Fritz?
Well, I'm very grateful that we're doing the more comprehensive review and discussion that will involve all of the commissions and the community at large. That obviously needs to happen. I appreciate, again, the stopgap measure and was able to support it because of this second resolution. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman?
I just also wanted to add my thanks to the City Budget Office for their help on thinking through these issues. Aye.
Novick.
I'm glad the City Budget Office is getting some love, because once the public starts noticing the recommendations and certain items of this year's budget, they're going to get all sorts of complaining calls. Aye.
Hales.
I think we get those calls. Aye. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move.